Someone's out of practice. Are you all right? Mr. Keynes, are you okay?
I'll tell you, the old pipes ain't what they used to be, bro. Damn, man. Sorry about that.
Too much clean living?
Holy carp. Yeah, that and too many damn whiskey and cigarette breakfasts.
Well, if you're done coughing up a spleen there, let's go ahead and start the show, shall we? Friends!
No, man, go on without me, bro.
Way ahead of you, pal. Friends, welcome to another end-of-the-year edition of another end-of-the-year clip show for another end-of-the-year with this, the 273rd and end-of-the-year edition of Fusebox, majestically yet unenthusiastically titled Merry Crapmas. And with me, your coiffed and festooned host, Mark Rose. While over there, thoroughly resplendent in garland and fake reindeer antlers, the viceroy of vocal cords, the one and thankfully only, Milt Keynes, everybody. But only if you're up to it.
I'm here for you, Padrone. The shelf life of vocal cords can be a short one if you're not careful.
Yes, especially if you're eating glass, rusty nails, and bottle caps between unfiltered Camels and Jack Daniels.
Dude, that's no joke. It's been a wild ride, that's for sure. So, not a bad trade-off, really, because I've had a blast, bro.
Well, let's see if we can continue blasting then, shall we?
We shall. Sally, can I get another round, sweetheart? Yeah, thank you kindly. Oh, and Eco wants another peanut colada.
Ah, yes. You know, that reminds me. Once again, we find ourselves ensconced at the lovely Suicide Sally's from where we now... from where we now broadcast...
Well, you might say I've both broadcast and cast broads at a time or nine.
It's good to have a hobby.
Oh, thanks, Don.
Speaking of hobbies...
You good?
Yeah, no, thank you. I'm good. And speaking of hobbies, we have another fun and fantabulous clip show for you folks. That's right.
That's our hobby? I thought we were just being lazy.
Don't show all our cards, Mr. Keynes. Yes, but no. And be that as it weren't.
Even if it was.
We've hunted and gathered, folks, to bring you the very best of the worst. In fact, one might say the highlights of the lowlights from the past year and smash them into what we hope will at least partially resembles something close to a show, as well as a surprise brand new piece revealed here for the first time and very seasonally appropriate.
My pancreas spasms in moist anticipation.
And you should definitely get that checked, my friend. So, without further ado, hit it, Milt.
Consider it hit.
From Fusebox 267, Mood Poison. Here's a little vinyl nightmare for our humble host.
Wait a minute! Wait a minute! What did you do? What did you do? For the love of... Why? Why, Milt? Why?
No. Shh. Just let it happen, bro. Just let it wash over you.
I'm in audio hell right now.
No. This is good for you, bro. You can thank me later. Okay. This is Fusebox 26.
Can I thank you with a neck punch? Or how about I just hold your head underwater for about 10 minutes?
Shut up. Hey, I lost my place, damn it. Okay. This is Fusebox 267 Mood Poison, and you are basking in vinyl goodness, my unappreciative friend, and well past taking the antidote.
Holy carp. Yeah, I'd say I'm definitely feeling a little green around the gills here, guy.
We need a clean up on aisle four, please. Clean up on aisle four.
Friends, I've talked about this before on the show. No, but look, I get the entire tactile and almost ritualistic grandeur of the vinyl experience. I actually do. I too have extremely fond memories of staring for hours at the album cover art to unlock some unknown mystery lurking within the images, right? Or marveling over the colored vinyl, or maybe a picture disc version of some record, if you could ever find them. But that's where it stops for me, okay? The audio quality is not warmer. It's distorted. The EQ curve, as designated by the RIAA, that's the Recording Institute Association of America, is truly based on the laws of physics and the limitations of the medium itself. A piece of plastic with grooves etched into it. The curve is not implemented to accurately capture an audio performance. No, the folks at the recording studio did that already, if that was their intention, only to have it perfectly mangled and mutated in this arcane transfer process. Also true is the fact that as you begin to get into the center grooves of a record, you know, closer to the hole, the frequency response decomposes quickly, becoming a tinny and sometimes warpy mess that is compensated poorly, in my humble opinion, by the invention of this curve.
From Fusebox 263, Reich and Roll, some mice-sized ambitions.
How about a nice hot wire?
The hot wire of science.
Can't wait to get to this one, huh?
Well, I mean, mouse splooge.
Yes, it's quite the notion. For a very long time, scientists have pondered what are the chances of a civilization to thrive in space, including the question, can we even reproduce in space?
Be fun as hell research project. Well, you can sign me up for that one.
No doubt, Mr. Keynes. So to answer that puzzling question, freeze-dried mouse sperm stored aboard the International Space Station in a radiation protection box could help give us a better understanding of mammals' ability to procreate off-Earth.
So they've already done this test?
Well, yeah, part one anyway. The specimens have been stored aboard the ISS for a while now, and when the specimens get back to terra firma next year, Taruhiko Wakayama, a professor at the University of Yamanashi's Advanced Biotechnology Center, will study them to determine what impact the space environment has had and if they can be used to create healthy offspring.
Huh.
Yeah. Back in his laboratory in Japan, Wakayama is developing a device that will allow astronauts to conduct rodent in vitro fertilization aboard the ISS in the coming years. Ultimately, the experiments could help save mankind, he says. He goes on to say that our aim is to establish a system for safely and permanently preserving Earth's genetic resources somewhere in space, whether on the moon or elsewhere, so that life can be revived, even if Earth faces catastrophic destruction. That's a rather grim prediction. If this chap's name rings a distant bell with you, friends, it's because in 1997, he and another academic developed a novel method that they used to clone the first mouse from adult cells.
Wait. Was that the one that had the ear growing on its back?
No. That was another project.
The ear back project?
Well, I'm not really sure what
they... Did they have a toe head project where they grew a toe where the head should be?
No, I think you're thinking of Project 2025.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. Wakayama led a study on the development of mouse embryos in space, something that had previously only been done with creatures like amphibians and fish. And he and his team pioneered a freeze-drying method used to send mouse sperm to the ISS, where it was stored in a freezer, for up to 6 years. When the samples got back to Earth, the researchers rehydrated them and produced healthy baby mice.
Holy carp. Should we be saving our specimens too?
For what possible good, Mr. Gaines?
Well, I mean, you know, recolonization. I mean, after the giant mantis aliens wipe everything out, which is, as things are going right now, could be Tuesday.
Yeah, bring it.
From Fuse Box 262, 11s, a few facts about lucky number 11.
Welcome back, friends. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we're looking at the number 11 on this program, not only because we're starting our 11th year of this here show, but I wanted to start off with some things that you might not have known about this mysterious number. You know, in some esoteric circles, 11 is thought to be an angel number.
Oh yeah, man. She's really hot. And a damn fine dancer, too, gotta say. You know, just the other day, I saw her at Pinchy's.
I think we got our angels crossed here, Mr. Keynes. The angel in this case refers to a message from above around this number. It's said that 11 can often mean the following. Spiritual awakening. It signals a new phase of spiritual growth and development. It can offer intuitive guidance. It encourages trusting your inner voice and following your instincts. It reminds us of our ability to shape our reality through thoughts. This number represents a bridge between the physical and spiritual realms. Personal growth. Seeing this number often indicates a period of significant personal transformation. Heightened awareness. It suggests an increased sensitivity to energies and synchronicities. Or life purpose. The number may be guiding you towards your true calling.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Or soul mission. Positive change. The number often appears during times of positive life transitions. finally, enlightenment. This master number is associated with spiritual illumination and insight.
Oh, holy carve. You know, I see like 1111 a lot of the time, bro.
Well, you should pay close attention, Mr. Keynes. The universe may be trying to communicate with you.
Or my damn clock is jammed. I mean, it does that anytime there's a power failure.
From Fusebox 264, a couple of choice political commentaries, don't you know?
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
So let me shed a little blight on the title of this edition of the show, shall I?
Well, who's going to stop you?
Well, certainly not me. And why would I?
Why indeed? Drone on, Padrone.
Friends, if you were around for the first tumultuous term of the Orange Guy, you may recall a political strategist that the aforementioned Orange One had enlisted to aid in his campaign, a chap named Steve Bannon, a rather cagey guy. And by cagey, I mean shifty, Trump mutt, and former co-founder of, quote, news site Breitbart, self-proclaimed alt-right. He lasted about 7 months as that executive strategist, and then...
Before going to the hooscow.
Well, it was a little later, but there was that con he tried to pull, funding the border wall with all those MAGAnoid funds, which...
He pocketed.
Yeah, yeah. And he copped to that one recently.
With no time served anywhere.
Same as it ever was with this bunch... Well, in an interview several years ago with PBS's Frontline, he made this rather haunting statement.
I said, all we have to do is flood the zone. Every day we hit them with three things. They'll bite on one and we'll get all of our stuff done. Bang, bang, bang. These guys will never be able to recover. But we got to start with muzzle velocity. So it's got to start and it's got to hammer.
What is the word?
Muzzle velocity.
Uh-huh. Ugh.
Yeah, and an apt description of exactly what we're seeing now, right out of Bannon's playbook. Keep generating these insane and lawless acts in hopes that the populace is so utterly overwhelmed that they just give up and succumb to the onslaught of madness.
Yeah, no.
Well, this is what we've got going for the foreseeable future, friends.
We gotta hope the courts step up here. They are really a nearly last line of defense.
Nearly?
Yeah. Well, Herr Trump ain't looking too damn healthy these days, and clearly he's inherited brain worms from RFK Jr.
The wettest we've ever seen from the standpoint of water.
Hey, never say we didn't give you anything. Here's a super secret bonus thing. Never heard before and created especially for this here show. A special piece written and narrated by Joe Medina called Let's Have a Zombie Christmas. Who loves you, baby?
Everybody jokes about the in-laws. Christmas with my wife's parents is like the holidays in the local drunk tank. A Christmas Story movie marathon. One movie played in a loop over and over in the background. The stereo blasted country pop Christmas tunes at the same time. Karens and rednecks inhaled glasses of Fireball and Two Buck Chuck, guffawing and bragging about bar fights, shoplifting, and trailer trash gropings. And my wife and I were forced to listen. Stuck in the far corner of the kitchen table, our backs to a window, mocked for nursing drinks we never wanted, tricked into handling used Kleenex for a cheap laugh. A howling, barking laugh. And every time my wife shared a glance with me, her eyes were pleading. We wanted the same thing. Escape. Ay, Dios mío, get me out. But we couldn't leave. The in-laws got mad if you tried that. Hey, you don't want to drink with me? Isn't that good enough for you? Huh? Did I compare those parties to the local drug tank? That's not fair. The drunk tank would have been peaceful. But that was the night before Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve Eve. Actual Christmas Eve. That was for shopping. Last-minute shopping was a tradition kept faithfully, or simply kept, by the in-laws. Every Christmas, my wife's parents ordered us, strongly urged us, to help track down and wrap last-minute gifts. They didn't care how, as long as we got a few things. I never understood this. My in-laws had all the liquored-up bubblegum sports ball culture they ever wanted. But the corporate bric-a-brac of this neo-pagan quasi-Christian holiday, gifts, wrapping paper, toys, games, thoughtfulness, fun, there's never enough. The lack of preparation for their own traditions was a tradition in itself. Oh, why are we doing this? So one Christmas Eve, early that morning, we went to the big shopping mall in town. We got up early, expecting a crushing throng, hoping we might beat the rush. Oh, did we ever. There were only a few cars in the parking lot. We saw no one. We weren't sure whether the mall had even opened yet. And like burglars, we tested the doors until we found one that unlocked and let ourselves in. Inside, the mall was empty. Shops were closed. 15 minutes passed before we heard footsteps and the voices of the living, and the Christmas music played on. It felt like George Romero's Dawn of the Dead. Meanwhile, my wife was in a hurry to get the shopping done before all the consumer zombies crowded the mall. Hey, relax. We're here. Besides, everything is shut. They're not about to run out of any... Hey, whoa! Slow down! I can't... Oh. FYI, I have a back injury that makes walking difficult. In a pinch, I can manage a quick walk or even a short sprint without a cane, but it'll hurt later. So when my wife scampered away, I broke into a quick walk. Then one of my shoes got untied. Once she finally turned around and came back for me, my wife found me with my arms extended for balance, dragging my bad foot to keep my shoe on it. She apologized for leaving me behind while she bent down to tie my shoe for me. I simply grunted and chuckled. I must have looked like a George Romero zombie, so I turned it into a game. She kept searching for an open storefront, but every time her back was turned, I did my best zombie walk. When she turned to make sure she hadn't lost me again... What? No, I'm fine. Then she caught me. Don't give me that look. Come on. It's not like anybody could see me. And then the holiday music suddenly became The Gonk, a quirky, goofy song in the DeWolf Music Library composed by Herbert Chappell, the closing music of the original 1978 Dawn of the Dead. Clearly the boss head must have seen my antics on the security cameras and decided to give me this one gift, being a zombie for Christmas. I broke into laughter and went back to my zombie walk for the duration of the song. My wife frowned the whole time, convinced I was an idiot. I didn't care. Yes!
This is the best Christmas ever!
Finally, the shops began to open, the Christmas music returned, and we hunted down the last few gifts. Shreds of tinsel, remaining juices of roast beast, or whatever the Grinch had left behind in that mall. We completed our mission and handed over our loot to the in-laws. But that was materialism, not Christmas. I shared a moment of whimsy, goodwill, kindness. Now that was a gift from strangers I never saw.
Yes, and there you have it, friend. Oh, thank you. Thank you most kindly. Thank you. Wow.
Yeah, they're clearly drunker than usual this year.
Well, whatever it takes, right? Thank you all. Thank you all so much. Thank you. So, my dear friends, we close out another year of frightening impossibilities and also, once again, look forward to, hopefully, better possibilities in the new year ahead. And without stating the total and inexplicable insanity of the obvious regarding the political and societal front, folks, let's all just hope 2026 brings about positive change and perhaps reveals our better angels, allowing us to finally turn the corner towards a much brighter and far, far more enlightened future to once again reclaim our true station in the eyes of the world.
Hear, hear.
And let us also once again thank the many fine folks who helped make Fusebox the little show that could.
Even if it shouldn't.
So please and thank you to 42nd Street Pete, Aaron Lane, Jody Lorimer, Sabra May, Joe Medina, Lawrence Overmeyer, and Gregory Wilson. Yes, but also our comrades here in this audio mayhem, Eco, Milo, and Timo, as well as Jeff Pollard, and of course, our beloved Milt Cades. And all the fine folks here at Suicide Sally's for once again putting up our shenanigans.
As always, folks, please be sure to visit our Patreon page, patreon.com/thefusebox show, to help the cause by becoming a member and get yourself some damn cool free crap in the bargain.
Yes, please, and thank you in advance, friends. And with Christmas right around the corner, be sure to visit our store at thefuseboxshow.com to buy cool swag for your loved ones over there.
Or for yourself.
Or yourself, yeah, yeah. In fact, go there now and treat yourself to a stylish Suicide Sally's t-shirt, hoodie, or genuine Fusebox whiskey mug, or equally authentic Fusebox church flask. Because what in the whole wide world exudes truer Christmas spirit than spirit-inspired Fusebox swag?
Not a goddamn thing, that's why.
Precisely. Because if there's one thing we've learned over the years, it's that booze knows what to do.
You said a snootful, bro.
And with that, let us close out another show and another year. So thank you all again for coming out and joining us here at Suicide Sally's. And thanks to all of you out there listening in and supporting us as we close out 2025 and head the wrong way down a one-way street straight into 2026, which will also mark, by the way, our 12th year. Yeah, yeah, for true. I have been your tinseled, tasseled, and yule-logged host, Mark Rose, saying, until our next cartoon. Milt, yeah. Anything to add?
My drink's dry. Hey, Sally.